You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with MLB.com Braves reporter Mark Bowman. And Mark, the Braves make a move at the deadline, maybe not as many moves as we would have anticipated, but I guess an important rule, because we had talked about it, I think, multiple times on this, the fact that you believed and were sold on the fact that Oliveira was never going to make it back up to the major league club. So one way or another, they had to deal with him. And at the end, they're able to deal him away and get something back. And what they get back is a guy that used to be an MVP-type player. Now, it's been a little bit since Matt Kemp was that, but still a productive player and a guy who is kind of a neat fit for this Braves team, because I guess he grew up as a Braves fan. And, you know, you think of Matt Kemp, and I think of him, and I think, oh, he's kind of on the downhill side of the career, but he's not that old. I wonder how much is left in the tank. Did you like this move to bring in Matt Kemp to the Braves?
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, let's put it this way. Had they kept Oliveira, they were just going to basically eat $28.5 million or end up packaging him in another deal where he wouldn't have provided any value. They probably would have ended up actually getting less in return, because they were asking for another team to assume his salary. So to get Matt Kemp, you know, are they taking a gamble on Matt Kemp? Sure. Sure. They basically, over the next 3 years, they'll be paying an average of $8.5 million per season than they would have had they kept Oliveira. Here's a guy who, he provides the right-handed pop this team doesn't have. He's hit more home runs than Freddie Freeman over the last 2 years. People have talked about his strikeout rate, but his strikeout rate is basically exactly the same as Freeman's. With that being said, you know, injuries have taken a toll on Matt Kemp. He's not the defender he once was. They're going to have to figure out exactly how much time they're going to give him in left field, how many days off here and there that he's going to need. Moving forward, I think Freeman said it best. At least, you know, the players are getting some indication that the, you know, after saying goodbye to so many players, that the team is at least trying to add pieces now. Look, Matt Kemp may not be the most significant piece that they add between now and the start of 2017, but he at least provides a base there in the middle of the lineup for them to build around.
Does he strike you as the kind of guy that's going to be a nice fit for, as these young players come up, a guy that can kind of welcome them and be a good guy in that clubhouse?
I think so, yes. From what I've seen the first 2 days, look, everyone's happy their first 2 days anywhere. It's a new beginning for Matt Kemp. It's an opportunity to join the team that he grew up following there in Oklahoma. You know, he had the opportunity to meet Hank Aaron the other day. You know, talk to Tom Glavine, a guy that he watched the other day when he was coming home from school there in Oklahoma. You know, this is a good honeymoon period. I think what's going to help is if the Braves can win a little bit more consistently here down the stretch. Nobody's happy, you know, in the environment that you know, that the Braves have created with as much losing as they have experienced over the last couple of years. So that will help, but at the same time, yeah, I see a guy who can come in here and be a positive influence on the younger players. You know, he's come in with a good attitude. He's smiling. You know, everyone in the clubhouse seems to have welcomed him with open arms. So we'll see moving forward exactly how it all plays out. But for right now, it does seem like he does bring a positive attitude to the clubhouse.
So that was the move that the team did make. The moves they didn't make, Nick Markakis is still a Brave. Jim Johnson's still a Brave, which to me is the most surprising thing, especially because of how well he's been pitching lately. Actually, the National League Pitcher of the Week last week, he saved four games. Did you think by the end of Monday, Jim Johnson would be on a different roster?
I did. I did think that Johnson would be gone. I thought the Rangers, the Mets, there were a couple other teams that were looking for relief help. I thought that he'd be gone. And look, there was interest. The Braves basically weighed that interest, said it wasn't exactly what they were looking for. There's a chance that Jim Johnson gets moved in August. Look, the Braves aren't going to come out here and say this, because you know, I think But I think part of their reasoning for not moving him is they traded him and Luis Avalon at the end of July last year and basically dealt with disaster, you know, over the final 2 months because their bullpen was so thin. I don't think that you should ever, you know, keep a guy just to get to 60 wins instead of 55. I mean, what's the difference? But at the same time, I think that their thought was, hey, look, we'll keep him around a couple more weeks, you know, provide some stability. Maybe we'll then this guy, you know, comes back. Now all of a sudden, you know, if he can come back near the end of August, maybe you deal Jim Johnson at that point in time. You weren't going to get a lot in return for him here at the end of July. I get it. You know, if you're only giving him up for a month, you're not going to get much in return as well. But at the same time, I think that when they were weighing what they were getting in return, they were saying, hey, look, it may be worth keeping him around to help us win a couple games over the next couple weeks.
You mentioned maybe a waiver move for Johnson. Anybody else on that roster that could be involved in an August trade?
I'd say that Nick Markakis still is intriguing to me, you know, from that perspective. He doesn't hit home runs, you know, as consistently as he did in the past. But if you look at his ratio over the last month or two, you know, he's had a few balls leave the park. He has consistently hit doubles this year. So there is a little bit more pop in that bat than there was last year. Everyone knows that Nick Markakis is a great guy to have in your clubhouse. He's not the fielder he once was. But at the same time, the one team, and I mentioned this last week, is you always wonder if the Orioles are going to come calling. You know, that's the one team I kind of expected on Monday. Maybe they would have struck a deal. You know, but at the same time, they're not the only team that they could come looking for Markakis. And the Braves do have a need probably to move either Markakis or Ender Inciarte before the start of the 2017 season because you're looking at a logjam there in the outfield now because you've got Malik Smith coming back. You know, my thought is, you know, it'd be best to move Markakis. You may have to eat some of that salary, but at the same time, if you put Ender Inciarte maybe in – if you put him in right field, you know, you're losing a great center fielder. At the same time, you know, Malik has the potential to develop into one. The other thing you could do is, you know, I don't know if Matt Kemp can play right field on a consistent basis anymore. Maybe he's not the guy maybe you want out there, but at the same time, that's also an option. So where you would have Malik Smith play left and Kemp. But one way or another, they do have to move an outfielder, I think, before the start of 2017. So while Markakis is an option for August, if it doesn't happen, I think that we'll be hearing a lot of his name or Inciarte's name possibly during the offseason. But when you look at Inciarte, you've seen what he's done the last couple of weeks. He's starting to show his offensive potential. He's going to be a top Gold Glove candidate this year. You got him under control for the next 4 years. And I think it would be a mistake to move him at this point in time.
Mark, Julio Teheran, there was hopes that he would avoid the DL, just be able to take a few days off for that strained right lap, but now he is on the disabled list. Rob Whalen makes his Major League debut on Wednesday, and pretty good. I mean, if he goes 5 innings, obviously not a long outing. 4 walks, you don't want to see that, but just 4 hits, he gives up 4 earned runs. Importantly, I think, for a guy's confidence, he does get the victory in the game. He strikes out 5. What did you see from Rob Whalen in his Major League debut?
You know, you saw a kid who wasn't, he didn't get rattled. You know, he didn't get rattled by being on the big stage for the first time. Yes, maybe nerves played a part in the struggles he endured during the 36-pitch, 4-run first inning. But at the same time, he battled back. You know, I don't know what his, you know, potential or ceiling is as a starting pitcher, but at the same time, you like to see a guy that comes out and competes like that. His fastball is 90-91. He's got a decent curve. We did not see a lot of that. We saw more sliders during his debut. But, hey, look, that's a great story. I can tell you, you know, it's my 16th year covering this team. That's the first time I've ever written about a kid winning his debut after he was nearly pulled in the first inning. So, you know, it was nice to see. You look at this rotation right now with Whistler now back in the minors. You've got Aaron Blair, who's probably going to come back this weekend. Like you said, Teron on the DL, John Gant, and Williams Perez on the DL. It's amazing what this rotation has turned into. At this point in time, as we speak, from Tuesday through Saturday, the five guys they will use have a combined total of 47 career starts, and Foltynewicz has 28 of those.
Yeah, it's not Maddox, Clavin, and Smoltz, that's for sure, huh?
Not even close. But at the same time, you know, we'd have to go back to 1988-89 to mention Clavin and Smoltz in a rotation like this.
All right, great stuff as always, Mark. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.